this morning we continue a journey, and that journey is into the Ten Commandments. And whether or not the Ten Commandments are relevant in the 21st century. 2015, written many years ago, as we said, to a band of slaves in the middle of a desert. They had just run away, and they didn't have internet. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have a space shuttle. They didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have anything, and yet they had the Ten Commandments. We've got so much more. We've got so much more wisdom and insight. We've got Google, all right? We've got all that we need for wisdom. Why do we need these? And that's where we're going in the next few weeks as we look at these Ten Commandments. Again, we begin this journey, and we began last week by admitting the realization that a lot of old stuff in our society today is getting tossed every day. Again, the family heirlooms, the things that for generations seem to be very important, are getting thrown out the door in the 21st century. And I don't think it's any surprise that the same would be true of the Ten Commandments. That for most people, again, 99% of people in the church, 99% of people in the church can't tell me all 10 commandments. Cannot do it. And that's people within the church. And so we've got to decide whether or not we're willing to be able to be those people who want to dust them off. People who want to, again, connect God to these 10 commandments. And remember, a huge piece of this is that if we can understand the commandments, then we understand grace and we understand the gospel even that much better. Because it convicts us of our sin, it restrains evil within our lives, it's a guide to our living for the kingdom. But again, the Ten Commandments are those things that can indeed point us in a greater way to Christ. They're not downers. They're not handcuffs. They're ways to understand the love of God in a deeper way. And so again, the question is, will we dust these things off? Will we bring them back into our lives? Do we consider them a family heirloom that we're not going to get rid of and that we're not going to bring to the shop to get rid of and to sell? All right? Are these Ten Commandments something we want within our lives and within our family lives today? And so last week I ended with this. I said, think about what you believe to be the most important of the Ten Commandments. The most important of the Ten Commandments. What would be your number one as you look at that list of the Ten Commandments? And I said I was going to ask you. So, some of you have told me, some of you have said, well, I want to tell you early, or some of you asked, what is it? I'm curious. Anybody willing to share? What's number one? Number one is number one? Okay. Love the Lord your God, right? Number one. Somebody else? Number two. Okay. All right. Somebody else? Number 11. Okay, so number 11, I'm going to guess, all right? I'm going to guess that you're not just being a stinker, all right? And I'm going to say that are you saying what Christ says is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and understanding, and love your neighbor as yourself. Number 11, New Testament. All right. Somebody else? Number nine. Have you... Have you ever thought that the most important commandment is number 10? You shall not covet your neighbor's house, shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Number 10. For a long time, I have really been wrestling with this. I felt in my heart that this is so key to our existence. And for the first time, I stand before you as somebody who really believes this even more today, given the reading and the studying that I did over the last few weeks. This, I believe, is the key to the rest of the Ten Commandments. And as we journey through them, I want you to push back. I want you to wrestle with me. You don't believe me. You don't agree with me. Let's keep going. But I'm going to say to you that this is number one. This, the tenth commandment, is number one. You see, we live in a money culture. We live, as one person put it, in a money cult. Having money, having possessions, amassing wealth is the religion of America, of really a Western mindset. Again, last week I had said to you that in the early church, they would teach children the Ten Commandments before they taught children John 3:16. Just the opposite, really, of what we do today. The same would be true of this. If you went into the early church, if you went into the society of the early church, the first thing you often would hear is, are you saved? Do you know who Christ is in your life? Do you have a relationship with God? Are you part of a church community? Those were the priorities. Those were the questions. But in the 21st century, in 2015, so often the first thing that we ask people is, what do you do for a living? We ask our children not whether or not they're, again, okay with God, but whether or not they're going to have a good job, whether or not they'll be able to make a good living, whether or not they'll be, quote-unquote, secure in the world today. We have really bought into this idea of this cult that says the most important thing for our children and for our family is to be well off, to be financially secure and stable, to have a great income. And we forget all about, do you know where you're going tomorrow if you lose your life? Do you know who Christ is? You see, we live in a society in which we have promoted this idea of discontentment, where we're really never happy, okay, with what we have. It's really this primary symptom of coveting. And that's why it's so prevalent within our culture and within our society. It's the desire for things that takes importance in our lives. And most importantly, it's out of proportion. Where we teach our children, where we live our lives with the idea, if I can only have this, then I will be fulfilled. If I can only attain this item, if I can only save this much money, if I only have this kind of a job in order to have this income, then I'll be okay. It's out of proportion. And so many of us are discontent. It doesn't help that as we look at things like TV. Things like movies. Things like magazines. And we look at the advertising that's out there, we soon see that luxury cars are the answer. Don't drive that basic model. God forbid you should have to roll your windows down, right? You need the best. Or maybe it's not that you need a TV, but you need a big screen TV. And the bigger, the better. And the more number of pixels, the better. You need a faster computer. You need the iPhone 6C or S or whatever it is. But you always need something bigger, better, younger, faster. And money will buy it. And money will get you there. And it's out of proportion. Thou shalt not covet. Really equates to this idea of greed. I want it, and I want it now. I want it, and I want it now. This is the society. This is the 21st century that we live in, one in which we're discontent with what we have. We've got a lot of tuna fish, but we want ice cream, and we want our chocolate syrup, and we want our sprinkles too. It was quite a few years ago that, again, a quote came into my life, and it's a quote that resounds in my mind time and time again. It's one that I try to live by, and it's one that I fight with on a regular basis because of what I've spoken of, and it's this. Contentment. Remember, we're living in a discontented world. Contentment is not the realization of all that we want. It's the realization of all that we have. You see, this 10th commandment speaks to the culture we live in, that we now advertise wealth and prosperity over a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the cult that we live in. So again, come on, Pastor Paul, really? This is number one? And this is where a commentator has helped me today in the 21st century. The reason that this commandment is, in my mind, the most important is this. This is the one and only of the commandments that really speaks to the heart. The heart. It really is a summary of all that precedes it. Everything that, again, goes in front of it is kind of an act, shall we say. It's something that we can hypothetically stop. Don't murder, don't steal, don't lie. But this whole idea of coveting, this whole idea of discontentment, this whole idea of greed is an issue of the heart. It really speaks to the motives of why we live and why we do what we do. No law can stop a mindset or a heart of greed. I have this image of the Grinch, all right? This image of the Grinch and how nothing could get to him. Nothing could change his Grinch personality. He wanted it all. He wanted to take it all. And it was only this little girl who could what? Touch his heart. Defrost his heart. And change his idea of greed into one of living with other human beings. You see, greed, and whether or not our heart is filled with greed, is the motive. If I have a heart that is content, then why do I need to steal? If I have a heart that is content, then why do I have to lie or bear false witness? If I have a heart that's content, well, then why in the world would I not honor God and build a relationship with God? If I have a heart that is content, why then wouldn't I honor my parents, my mom and my dad? You see, it's the motive inside of us. But if we want something better, if we want something bigger, if we want something more important, well, then I'm going to lie, I'm going to cheat, I'm going to steal, I'm going to dishonor, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get what I want. And it's this commandment that really rattles through all the others that have been listed. The scary thing is that only an individual knows their heart. And if you look at Scripture, whether it be Joseph and the motives of his brothers, whether it be the prodigal son, whether it be David and Bathsheba, whether it be Ahab and the vineyard, whatever it is, you look at these stories in Scripture and you see that normally it's people who wanted something else, greed, that pushed them into adultery, into murder, into stealing, into bearing false witness, or in Adam and Eve's case, into thinking that they were as wise as God because they wanted something else. Can we be fully content? I don't know. Again, I think we teach our kids from the very beginning to not be content. And yet, if we want to attack this commandment, if we want to change our hearts, if we want a chance at fulfilling those other commandments, then I would say to you, we need to become contented people, thankful people. And I know a lot of you are sitting there going, and I want to say this clearly. Possessions or the desire to improve your life is not wrong. Possessions or the desire to improve your life are not wrong. But the motive in your heart could be. You see, what it is again, it comes back to this cult in which we live. And if the reason that you want more money and the reason that you want the new car and the reason that you've got to do the bigger, better, shinier, whatever is public image, is fitting better into the cult, is looking like the people in the magazine, then you're not content. Then you are moving towards greed. Then the motive and your heart is lost in the world and what the world says is right. And you got to take a step back and say, whoa, I got to learn how to be thankful. You see, the battleground is our heart and our mind. The battleground is our everyday living, and it's only the Holy Spirit that can touch us and change us and transform us and pull us out of the cult. Pull us out of that existence that says bigger, better, shinier is always better. I mean, I thought about this and I thought, wow, look at our world. Again, what's the motive? Many of us love the idea of exercise. All right, let's go exercise. Why? What I hear from so many is, I want to exercise so that I'll look better and I'll be younger and I'll be happier and I'll be like the cult pictures. Oh, if I buy this newest, most exciting workout item, then I'll look more like the models they use and not people like me. If I color my hair, if I get plastic surgery, if I take this pill or that pill, the whole idea is not health. is not, this is a temple of God and I'm going to take care of it. It's, I want to be in the cult. And we covet that membership. And we get greedy about it. And it shapes all that we are. And it squishes our heart. So what are the implications of the tenth? Here we go. The tenth commandment helps us, first of all, understand that God knows our thoughts and our desires. That's another reason it's number one. You read this and you understand, thou shalt not covet. You're not going to have a greedy heart. Really, what's being said here is God knows your motives. And so if you think you're getting away with murder, all right, you're really not, because God knows our heart. The other part of the implication of the tenth is that it teaches us that God is sovereign. That God has a plan. That God provides. That God gives us what we need. Not what we want, necessarily, but what we need. And for us to live in to, again, the cult of our society is to deny God. Because what we're saying is that if I can amass enough wealth, if I can be good-looking enough, if I can find the things that the world says are important and hold on to them, then I don't need you. The tenth commandment really teaches us about our relationship with God. But it also says a few more things. First one is that we're guilty. I mean, you might be able to look at the Ten Commandments and say, hey, I haven't murdered anybody, Pastor. Okay, that's true. But I would guarantee you that every one of us in this room this morning is guilty of coveting, is guilty of buying into the cult of Western thought, is guilty of having greed within our heart. We are guilty. Mostly because we want to be cool. And again, it comes back to that whole idea of image and what society says the image is. And so we need to get in touch with the idea that we're guilty. And the only thing that's going to change that guilt is a new heart. And the only thing that's going to change that is the Holy Spirit and God saying, I'm a sovereign God who loves you. I will take care of you. Believe me. And whether or not we'll believe. We also need to understand that sin is deeper than the act. Again, these prior commandments that we'll get into in the coming weeks, they're acts. But the sin is deeper. The sin is deeper than throwing the stone. The sin is deeper than the lie. It lies within our heart, our soul, our mind. And that's why, again, the tenth speaks to where is your heart at? It also points us to eternity. You say, well, how in the world does thou shalt not covet point to eternity? Folks, you can't take it with you. How many times have you heard that? We spend our lives amassing wealth, thinking that the more things we have and the more cool stuff we own, we'll be somebody. But guess what? I've yet to see anybody take it with them. It all goes away when we leave this earth. And so we've got to ask ourselves, what's more important? Kids, are you safe? Do you have a good job? Do you have a good income? Are you going to be able to make it? Or do you know who Christ is in your life? This commandment points us to eternity. It also points us to a hope, and that is a hope in God. That again, it isn't a bank account, and it's not a car, and it's not a house that's going to bring hope. It's not a facelift, it's not a dye job, it's not plastic surgery that's going to bring hope. The only hope that there is a living, eternal God. And so do we understand hope? And that hope is ultimately in Christ. Because even in understanding these commandments, even in struggling and striving to fulfill these commandments, the answer is not the law. The answer is Christ who fulfills the law. And so again, where are we with Christ? Where are your children with Christ? Where are your grandchildren with Christ? You see, our kids today are leaving the church in droves, and they're getting good jobs, and they're living in nice houses, and they're driving good cars, and we're saying, attaboy. And yet they may not know where they're going if tomorrow they die. Wow. You see, our hearts are all messed up. Our hearts are told that we need more. Our hearts are sown full of discontent. It's out of proportion. It's out of control. And until we figure this out, we're going to struggle with the other nine. Until we figure out where our loyalty is, where our ability to trust God is, where Jesus is in our heart, the rest of them aren't going to come in line either. So if we're going to dust them off, if we're really going to try and apply them to our lives today, then I truly believe it starts right here. Number one, most important, are we members of the cult or are we children of Christ? Plain and simple. Where are our hearts at? Amen.